for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from Zexant Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2021 Lake Hamilton Bible Camp February virtual Zoom meeting. Deborah Vales is hosting this meeting with Lake Hamilton Bible Camp Director Mira Miller. This is Saturday morning, February the 20th, 2021. This is an online Zoom meeting. Jean Williams is teaching first. Her subject title is When God is Silent. Next is Colonel Williams. His subject title is My Times Are in Thine Hand.
I speak blessings to all of you. I ask the Lord that your Holy Spirit will come and speak to each and every one of our hearts, that you will deal with us on a personal basis. I have a couple of things to say before I turn it over to Jean. In Proverbs, Solomon says, there's nothing new under the sun, and it's sure true about that. In the days of Isaiah, Jeremiah, God warned his people on the things that they were doing, sacrificing their babies, worshiping idols made out of stone and wood. God would mock them because of that. And here we are today in America, and the church in America since 1962, and I had a dream about this, in 1962, the church turned its back on the things it should have been doing. It turned its back and became the silent majority. Hear me? Silent majority. And while the church was doing whatever they wanted to do, the secular world came in, took over our schools, took over our courts, took over the presidency and the Senate and the Congress, took it over. And now in this time, there's a remnant in America that is still praying and hanging on, holding back the onslaught of the enemy, the darkness that would come into this country and take it over. But that remnant, and we're part of it, across this country is holding back that onslaught. Even when we voted in a president, a man that a lot of people didn't think should be there because he didn't talk right. Well, I don't talk right. Maybe I shouldn't be here, but I'm here because God has called me to be here and to speak out. That man did more for this country in 4 years than any president has done in 40 years. And when he wasn't reelected, it kind of got me off guard. I went into prayer. I asked the Lord, what's going on? I know of three prophets that I trust since 2007 right up to 2015 that prophesied this man would be there for 2 years and he would change the face of America, I mean two terms, and he would change the face of America. And I asked the Lord, what's going on? What's happening here? And he said that his people, us, called by his name, were complacent and just figured that he would be elected a second time and things would go on as they were. But the Lord said he had to bring in a usurper. And we can see it right now, right from the day he was elected. He's been signing these presidential orders against everything that Donald Trump did to help America. Not only that, he has continued the abortion parlors to give them more money out of our own taxes where we have to pay for. And we bring this on ourselves because we did not vote the way we should have voted. Since 1962, God out of our schools, out of our laws, out of our country in 73, Roe v. Wade started. Right now, to this day, 70 million babies have been aborted. This is against God's law. This is against the Christian teaching. This is against the Catholic teaching. This is against the Mormon teaching. And this is against any Asian teachings to kill these many babies. 45 million to 50 million Black American babies were aborted. Black America should be in an outrage over this. Instead, they go out and they burn down cities for the wrong thing. White America, and I hate to separate it like this, also has allowed this to happen. We are being judged right now on these things. We are being judged, but for a remnant in America, darkness would overtake this country and turn us all into socialist slaves. I speak out and I've held my peace. The Lord has showed me in a dream. I was standing on a mountain looking east and I saw a great plain filled with dead bones across this plain. And as I looked at this, I said, Lord, what is this? Is this Ezekiel's valley? And he said, no. I said, Lord, who are these people? What should I do? Should I pray over them? And he said, no. I said, well, who are they? He said, this is my church. This is my church that has been dead all these years. I said, well, what are we going to do? And he said, you're not going to do anything. He said, I'm going to do it. And so he started to blow on these dead bones. And I watched as he blew on these bones. I watched as they came together, as skin came on them, as they rose up. And as they stood erect again, I saw them all with the armor of God on them. And the Lord said, I am raising up an army. And I'm going to raise up my church again. And I saw them with their swords drawn and their right arms raised up with their swords in their hands. And I saw them start to praise the Lord, start to glorify the Lord, start to say the things that needed to be said against the evil that has come across this land. And I saw them begin to march across this land and take back the country that has been overrun by the darkness in it. Now, this was a dream. And when I woke up, I told my wife, Barbara, the dream. And I also called Patty the next day and I told her the dream because I wanted somebody else to know what the Lord has shown me, but I have been silent and the Lord has been burning this in my stomach that I need to speak out and say that the Lord is going to move. He himself is going to move on the church. He is going to drive out the money changers, the vicious wolves, those who have used the church for their own abilities, for their selfishness, those who have built temples for themselves and not spoke the word of the Lord. Right now, there are men across this country that are awakening, many ministers that have seen what is going on in this country, and they are awakening and speaking out. Right now, many men, many prophets, many people that have been down and out. I don't have the words to speak on the things that these men are speaking out right now. The secular world is trying to silence us. They're trying to take away our churches. But we will not allow that to happen. We will not, and the Lord says he will not allow this, that America is his. America belongs to him, and he will not give it up. He will not give it up. I thank you, Lord, for this time. I'm going to turn it back over to you, Deborah, but I had to get this said. I had to get this out. Many days in the mornings I go out. Some mornings I can hardly get to where I go to pray and get out on my face and just weep for some of the things the Lord has shown me. I just weep and I humble myself before him. I humble myself and I cry out to those who pray with me. I thank you for praying with us and for the camp and for the people there that are in the camp that take care of it. I thank you for that. But there is a time coming when ministers are going to stand up before their congregations, get down on their knees and weep for not leading their people to what the Lord wants. They are going to weep and they are going to confess the sins of the church and the sins of our country. And there are many, many sins that need to be confessed. I thank you, Lord, for this day that you have given us. For Deborah, Jean, and Kerna, for the other ministers that come to our camp and teach and deliver us and help us. I thank you, Lord, for all those that have come and signed on. We have many that have signed on, but the ones that are hungry, hungry for the living God, in the Psalms, as the deer panteth for the brook, my heart pants for the Holy Spirit, for the living God, for the one who sets me free.
Yes,
for the one who watches over me and cares for my family, my wife, my children, who knows my name and he knows your name, who holds us in the palm of his hand, who covers us with his wings and protects us from the darkness that would try to overtake us. The living God, his son, his name, Jesus, the most powerful name in the world and in our nation today, Jesus and his blood that's going to set us free. Thank you, Deborah. I turn it back to you.
Praise the Lord. All right. Sister Jane.
Hey. Amen. You hear me right loud and clear?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to start all over fresh. Is that okay?
Oh, sure.
Yes. All right. Okay. Okay, my message is about when God is silent. When God is silent. The definition for silent is making no sound, quiet, still, refraining from speech, speechless, mute. And oh, how we feel sometimes when God is silent in our lives. Mm-hmm. Every one of these definitions resonate with me. Mm-hmm. The Bible says in Job, the 29th chapter, verse 21, unto men gave ear and waited and kept silent at my counsel. It was three things that resonated with me in this scripture. That's hear, wait, and silence. So when we are going through and we don't hear God, we need to learn to hear from him, wait, and silence. Amen. And be silent. We all go through life needing to hear from God. Sometimes we in places where God is silent and we don't know what to do. We desperately praying for directions. not receiving anything in return. We going, Lord, where are you? Why aren't you speaking? I can't hear you. We needing his guidance, his wisdom, his direction. We come to these places through tragedy, sometimes through pain, transitions in life, or even day-to-day life tragedies. And we experiencing today in America all types of crisis that is going on. And we in desperate need to hear from God. But he's silent right now. So he's not speaking. So what do we do in the meantime? About maybe a week ago, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, I kept seeing this yellow butterfly kept coming around my window. And I was like, why is this yellow butterfly keep coming around my window? So I told my husband, I said, I believe God is speaking through the butterfly. How many know that God has a sense of humor? He would take the foolish thing to confine the wise.
Right.
Foolish to man, but it's wise to him.
Yeah.
So I began to look up the butterfly. And boy, did I find some things about the butterfly. The following week, God began to drop the caterpillar in my spirit. And I was like, okay, God, I hear you. I got it. What are you saying here? I surrender. What do you want me to do with this? And he began to show me so much about the butterfly that I am so anxious to share with you today, because I know that God is doing a work not only in my life, but in all of your life today. Amen.
Yeah.
I began to look up the butterfly and I began to study the caterpillar development. And I was amazed about the transformation the butterfly goes through. I believe we are in the caterpillar stage of transformation during the time of God's silence. Some of you out there, I believe you are in a need of transformation today. When God is silent, this is the moment in time for you to find out your real identity and your true self. There's a purpose for transformation for God's silence. When God is silent in our life, he's speaking, but he's just not saying anything. He's always speaking. I went to Romans 12, chapter verse 2 in the Amplifier, and it reads, do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial custom, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals, its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourself what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even a thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. So what is God doing in the meantime when he is silent? Is he saying to you today, there's a transformation that needs to take place? I want to do some things in your life. Even though God seems distant and detached at times, even unapproachable during this season of silence, we need to ask ourselves, God, what did you want me to do? What do you want me to learn from this? What are you saying? What are you speaking? Because remember, he's always speaking, even when he's silent. So let's talk about the butterfly a little bit. We all know that the butterfly go through so many stages, and I don't want to get all into the stages. It's only one particular stage that I want to go into, and that is the cocoon, the stage of a cocoon. When the butterfly goes through the stage of a cocoon, which calls a chrysalis, and is known as a metamorphosis, he is usually in that stage between 10 and 14 days before the work begins to complete. But when God begins to take us through the transformation stage, 10 to 14 days seem like 10 years or 14 years. But through this stage of the butterfly, it's only 10 to 14 days. But 10 to 14 days in our life and our times going through silence, it's like 10 years.
My God.
So When I began to look up the butterfly, it talked about the dying of the old body, and it began to shape into a new body. So the Bible tells me in Ephesians 4th chapter, verse 24, put on the new man. So in order for me to put on a new man, I must get rid of the old man. So the butterfly goes through this old man transformation before he begins to go into the new. So what God is saying and what he's speaking today is, through my silence, I want to take you through the transformation of the cocoon, because there are some things that I want to do in your life. So when I was looking at the butterfly, it was something mysterious. It was so many mysteries begins to stir inside the caterpillar. It prompted it into form a cocoon. So what am I saying? In the cocoon, something mysterious happens. It begins to get wings. The caterpillar is trapped. It can't leave. It can't move. It can't do nothing. All it can do is lie there and wait. So what am I saying to you today? Even yourself, even when God take you through the cocoon, you are just like the butterfly. Before he give you the wings to fly, you must wait. You must lay there. You must stay there. You can't go nowhere. You're trapped and you can't do anything. So God is saying, I'm speaking through the transformation, but you not allow me to go take you through this transformation because you in a hurry to go before me. So through the stage of the cocoon, before it become a butterfly, it must go through the stages. So I'm saying to somebody out there, not just by myself, but I'm saying to somebody else, God want to take you through the cocoon because he want to do a transformation in your life today. The Bible says in Isaiah, the 40th chapter, verse 31, for they that wait, stay, expect and stay upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings and eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. They that wait on the Lord. See, the butterfly got the message. They know that they need to wait. But do we get the message today that during the transformation, we need to wait? During the cocoon stage, that is where you meet pain, transformation, isolation through the process. God is exposing, this is where he exposed your sins, your idolatry, your drinking habits, your drugs, your fornication, your backsliding, your attitude, your disposition. This is the place where he wants to deal with you. And it's called transformation. And the list go on and on and on. But the fact of the matter is, God wants to deal with those things that keep you in captivity. Those are the things that he's after. Those things that hinders you, keep you from going forward. The Bible says in Isaiah, the 59th chapter, verse 2, because of your sins, your iniquities have separated you from him. In your iniquities, in your sins, he's saying you stayed there. You loved it. You embraced it. And not only did you do that, you subscribed to it. God said, I want to deal with that. He also said in Psalms, the 66th chapter, verse 18, if regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not hear me. So you mean to tell me if I have sin, iniquity, all of these things in my heart, he won't hear me no matter how I pray? This is what the word of God says. Psalms 66 chapter verse 18 speak of this. It is difficult to answer you when you are in your sins. There is a separation between you and God. God wants to take control of your thought life. That is what God wants to do. Get you into a thinking the way that he thinks, seeing the way that he sees, hearing the way that he hears. This is what he's trying to do. The Bible says in Philippians, the 2nd chapter, verse 5, let this mind be in you that is also in Christ Jesus. When we have the mind of Christ, we think the way he thinks. We talk the way he thinks. Amen? The Bible says also in Joel, the 42nd chapter, verse 5, and this is one of my favorite ones that gave me an awakening to what is happening in my life. When Job said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see thee. He no longer hearing what he's talking about. He now see what he's talking about. And this is where God wants to take us, to that place from not only hearing, but to seeing. He also said in Psalms, the 25th chapter, verse 14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him and will show them his covenant. Not only will he show you his covenant, he will show you his agreement. He become in agreement with you. During the process of the cocoon, God knew that the caterpillar was not destined to spend the rest of its life worming around the earth. He was destined to fly. You are destined to fly. God knows that you will not stay in your mess forever. This is why he wants to take you through the transformation stage, for he can take you to better things, to new heights, because you are destined to fly. So wait patiently. And during the transformation, God wants you to wait patiently without complaining. He don't want you to complain, because how many times when we're going through, oh, Lord, it's me. Please help me. Oh, God. He don't want you to complain. He wants you to wait on him, trust him through the process. The Bible also says in Psalms, the 27th chapter, verse 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. He is speaking. He's telling us how to get through the process. He's telling us how we can get through this thing without murmuring and complaining. Wait on me. If you say you love me, you trust me, then wait. Trust that I got you. There's going to come a time and a day that you will fly. You will fly above your situation and your circumstances. But you got to trust me through the process. The butterfly stage, when he went from the cocoon to the butterfly stage, this is where true identity is revealed, exposed, disclosed, unveiled. This is where everything begins to come out. This is where the unveiling of true identity is revealed. All the challenges you face brought you to a place of transformation. Change and spiritual rebirth is about to come. When people see you now, they know you have been with the Lord after your transformation. You are glowing. You talk different. You walk different. Now God is ready to launch you out into your destiny. Now he can use you for his glory. But you must wait on the process. So he's silent. I'm sensing around some of you that's out there that God has been silenced in your situation. You don't understand why he have not come. You've been praying. You've been fasting. And he has not came and gave you an answer. But I say to you, man and woman of God, today, if you wait patiently on the Lord, he will renew your strength. He will show himself. Because one thing I have learned about God, he makes no mistakes. And he's an on-time God. And he's right on time. So if you just wait on the Lord patiently and trust him through your silence, he will deliver you, whether you're on the drug, whether you're on drugs, your children acting up, your marriage is all disembodied, whatever the problem may be, God is still God. So you may say to me today, you told me about God being silent. You told me about the cocoon. You told me about the transformation, but how do I get there? What do I do? How do I get through this process? Well, the first thing I believe you should do, read the word of God. Get into your word. Study your word. Believe the word. Test the word. Try the word. The Bible says in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, verse 16 through 17, all scriptures is God's breath and is useful for teaching, reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Verse 17, so that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good action. God speaks most powerfully, most clearly through his word. His word is our instructions on how to live in this world. It makes us equipped for every good work. We are reminded of his promises that God is always good, always at work, always faithful to his people. In moments of life when God is silent, open up your word and he'll remind you that he is speaking today. Even through his silence, he is speaking. The Bible says in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Meaning that he do not change. He is the same. He don't change. We change.
Yes.
He's the same. God wants you to call out to him. He said in Jeremiah, the 33rd chapter, verse 3, when you call on me, I will answer you. He will speak back. He will talk back. He will listen to you. But first, you got to call out to him. But this flesh wants us to call out to everybody else except Jesus Christ. And he's saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if you call out to me, I will answer you back. I will talk back to you. I will be there for you. But first, you got to call. The next thing you should do is ask for wisdom when God is silent. The Bible says in James, the first chapter, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, that give to all men liberally and unbraided not, and it shall be given him. So you mean to tell me I can ask him for wisdom and he'll give it to me? Yes. And that's something I do every day because I need his wisdom throughout my life. How does God give us wisdom in this way? He indwells his people with the Holy Spirit. The very Spirit of God is living in you, making you a temple of the Holy Spirit. To have wisdom is to have the mind of Christ. When God shaped us to have the mind of Christ, then our decisions will be wise and we will make the right decisions. Because how many times we have gone before God and we have made the wrong decisions? And we're now living in a time that we got to have discernment like never before. We need wisdom like never before. And so these are the things that we have to start asking God for, because who knows better than him? Number 3, when God is silent, trust his guidance. You got to trust his guidance. You say you believe in him, but you got to trust him. The Bible says in Psalms, the 37th chapter, verse 5, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord and delight in his way. So you have to trust him. He will guide you. Guide him. Trust him to guide your steps through it. Ask God to lead you today and give you guidance, direction, clarity, wisdom. Ask God to order your steps. Let your choices be guided by his word and not go ahead of him. How many times we have went before God and it was a disaster? I don't know about you, but it's been many times for me. So it's time to let God lead the way. In difficult times, we often want God to give us a roadmap with instructions on how to do this and how to do that. God does not work that way. In Psalms, the 3rd chapter, verse 5, verse 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. A lot of times we want him to just write out the roadmap. Can he do that? Yes, he can. But it's times that he's silent where he wants you to rest in him, where you can hear him and he can speak to you. This is called the transformation stage. And we all in that stage, I believe, at this time. With all the stuff that's going on around us, we need to hear from God. And we need to hear a right now word from God, because we don't want to make the wrong mistakes. We don't want to go before him. We want to be in his timing, because timing we must have. Number 4, when God is silent, don't give up spiritual discipline. Don't give up spiritual discipline. We need spiritual discipline more than ever. Do not stop reading the Bible just because words do not seem to leap off the page, just because things is not working out for you. Don't stop. Don't stop reading the word. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So we must keep up spiritual discipline during the time that God is silent. This is a critical stage because you're going through a transformation stage. And God wants to do something in your life, because when God is speaking, the devil is speaking too. And you want to be able to discern the truth from error. Do not stop praying because your prayers feel like they bounce off the ceiling. I hear people say, I have prayed, I have prayed, I have fasted. It just seems like nothing and nobody is hearing me. God is not hearing me. Nobody, nothing. I don't know what to do. Wait. Do not stop worshiping God because you feel no connection. Remember that God is glorifying your obedience, and your desire to commune with him is more important than anything more deeply, even if you feel emotionally disconnected. He needs you more. You need him more than ever. So through this transformation stage, it's critical to lay there, trust him, wait patiently, because he's going to bring you through it. And the last one is, when God is silent, act in faith. You gotta have faith. In moments of pain and confusion, remember that he is still watching over you. Because he is silent don't mean he's not watching over you. The Bible says, Lord, I'll be with you always, even until the end of the earth. That tells me that he's always there, because he's not speaking back. I don't see anything or hear anything, do not mean that God is not there. He's there. That song that Deborah played earlier say, even if you don't see him working, he's still working. He's still working. And the enemy didn't want that song to go through because he don't want you to know that he's working. He's still working. The Bible says in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things that are not seen. He didn't say tomorrow. He didn't say yesterday. He said now. He said now faith. Now faith. We got to have right now faith. He is always working. So I want to say to you today, if you feel like you're one of these people who has been going through the cocoon, you feel like no one is there, I'm tired, I'm hurting, No one hears me. I've been having pain in my body. I've been asking God for prayer. I've been asking God to move this thing. He haven't moved it. I'm going through in my marriage. My marriage is breaking up. I don't know if it's going to stand. My children, they in prison. They in jail. They on drugs. They doing any and everything. I've been praying. I've been crying out. And it seems like God is not listening. You have someone that's on drugs in your family, or you may be on drugs, and you're saying, Lord, I've been asking you to deliver me from this, but I have not heard you. I keep praying. I can't hear you. What do? You wait on him, because even as I spoke of the butterfly, before the butterfly can become a butterfly, he's a caterpillar. He went into the cocoon, then he became the butterfly. And I believe God is saying that same thing. He's speaking to us today. Before you can fly, and I can give you these wings to go forward, some things that I want to break off of you, because you can't take that mess and all this stuff that you got attached to you to where I want to take you. There's new things. There's new heights that I want to do for you. But you have to allow the transformation to take place. So I want to say to you, and I want to encourage you today, before my husband come up, when God is silent, even behind the scenes, he is working in your situation. He is working in your circumstances. When you see yourself as defeated, God sees victory. God sees an overcomer. That's who God sees you as. When you see yourself as the black sheep of the family, as the prodigal one, God sees sons and daughters. Because many of you feel like the black sheep. Everybody rejected me. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares for me. All my life I've been mistreated. But God said, when I see you, I see sons and daughters. I see victorious. God said also, when everyone see you as a failure, God see you as victoriously, rising above your circumstances, your situation. Staying in the fight comes victory. Staying in the fight, you must wait. God see something different than you see yourself. And you must trust him through the process. You must trust him through whatever is going on in your life. I know some of you are hurting. We are in these times where people have no food, jobs, all kind of things are going on in our life. But we got to remember that we have a Savior, and he's still saving. He's still the deliverer, and he'll provide whatever we need. He said in his word, if you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. See, sometimes we want to take out righteousness and we just want to seek him. But it says seek in his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. We can be all kind of trouble can be going on in the world, and God is taking care of us. How many times you have heard people say, I didn't know that was happening, because God has continued to bless. His favor is continuing. God is mighty. He's awesome. He loves you. And I want to say to you today, keep on pressing on. Keep having the faith, trusting God through this transformation, and God will deliver you, and you will come out victory. To God be the glory. Give God a hand.
Give me just a couple of minutes, please. God be the glory. I know that many of you were blessed by that when God is silent, because it touched my heart. And what I really learned from that, I've learned many things from my wife, but I've also learned about when he's silent, it also is a time of bringing maturity, because you have to totally depend upon him. You have to totally surrender to Jesus Christ when he's silent. And I've heard many people ask me that by telephone call. Why is God silent? Where is God in all this? Why is he silent? I said, because he's silent does not mean that he's not doing a work. Amen? So let's just give Jesus a hand praise on that one. That was an awesome message there. Yes, yes, yes.
Glory to God.
Talk to you. But before I step into my subject, I want to tell you where we are on the Hebrew calendar. Okay. Before we get started, I just want to share with you where we are on the Hebrew calendar. We're in the Hebrew month of Adar. Adar is spelled A-D-A-R. A-D-A-R, and that word is Adar. And this is where we are on the Hebrew calendar month. Now, Adar, A-D-A-R, is the 12th month on the Hebrew calendar, the number 12, the 12th month on the Hebrew calendar. We're at 5781. Now, on the Gregorian calendar, which is the pagan calendar, and not the Hebrew calendar, it runs from February 13th to March 13th, 29 or 30 days. This month on the Gregorian calendar is February, and it is pagan because of, the Gregorian calendar is pagan because many of the calendars, if many of the names are named after pagan gods and goddesses. I did some research about the month of February, and I found out that it is a satanic ritual month, where back in the time of the Roman festivities, they worship Lupercalia. And Lupercalia has to do with wolves. The worship of wolves or the worship of werewolves. So February is the time of the Roman festivity, of the Roman festival, Lupercalia, and it dealt with werewolves, and it dealt with the pagan god Pan, and it dealt with certain Valentine's Day origins. Also, it is the time of the what I call the little perverted lust demon by the name of Cupid. Okay? So that's February on the pagan, on the Gregorian calendar, on the pagan calendar. But on the Hebrew calendar, we're in Adar, A-D-A-R. Adar is a time that you enter your true identity. Let me say that again. It is a time that you enter your true identity. In John chapter 1, verse 29, John chapter 1, verse 29 of the Amplified Bible, the Bible says, the next day John saw Jesus coming to him and said, Look, there is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. John immediately identified the identity of Jesus. So in many Jewish synagogues, it is a time, Adar is a time of true identity. Adar also comes with a Hebrew letter called Kaf, K-A-F. Please remember that if you can. Kaf, K-A-F. And the Hebrew letter Kaf, it looks like a mass. And Kaf is a time that you pray that Jesus will help you remove the mass. Now, that sounds very prophetic to me, that pray that Jesus will help me remove the mass. Sounds very prophetic to me. So it's a time that you pray that the Lord will help you remove the mass. It's a time that you pray to stop the masquerade that you're doing. It's a time you stop the falseness, the false personality. And it's a time you seek the Lord's face about total surrender. You pray that you step into your godly identity at this time. And it's also a time where you love the members of God's family. We're stepping also into that season. We're going to have to learn to love each other as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Adar is also a month where you overturn anxiety. Let me say it again. It is a time when you seek the Lord's face about overturning any stress or any anxiety or any fear that you may be having, so that you won't miss God's provision. Okay, let's look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 6.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.